tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Call-in number is 427-3772. If you get a busy signal, be patient. As soon as this conversation ends, I'll be able to get you on the air, and you can talk about the issue of Camp Paradise and the plan of the city to destroy the camp and drive homeless people out of sight. I'm afraid that's the ongoing, ever-present plan of this. That's the fallback position of the city council. But Larry, you got all these people who are in the homeless community. They can't all come to Camp Paradise. Let's suppose they say, okay, Larry, you can stay there, you can only have the same number of people you have now. And then another person walks into your campsite. What are you going to do then?
They're welcome.
Now wait a minute. Does that mean 1,000 people are welcome to start, tromping up along the riverbed if they?
Well, I don't see that they'd be tromping. We have nice little cleared areas that were trash once set, that now tent set.
But surely there's an upper limit to the number of people that area can sustain, and that is a somewhat of a wilderness area. There's a river that could be polluted by human waste.
Yes.
You say you want to provide porta potties and so forth, but I mean, we're talking you really need plumbing if you're going to have so many people.
We would really love to have plumbing, but
are you saying you're going to squat on this property that actually does it belong to the city or does it belong to the cemetery? I'm not even sure.
Well, we don't know. There's a big chunk cut out at fence where it comes down closer to the river, mm-hmm. Then it goes back up into the cemetery property. It's like a big horseshoe area that's cut out between two corners of their fence.
Well, if the cemetery owns it, maybe you should be going to the cemetery.
Exactly. Well, we're going to go today, mm-hmm. Or as soon as we get done with this conversation, I'm going to find out really who owns that piece of land.
Right.
And then if it's the cemetery seems like they have no problem with us there.
What you need to do then is get the written permission of the cemetery to be there, I guess.
Exactly.
And, of course, then the city will say, uh-oh, you're liable. We're going to sue your ass off. Get rid of these campers. They're violating the law because they're violating the city's camping ban, not just the sleeping ban, but the entire camping ordinance. So you got your work cut out for you. But I guess my question is, once that site gets bulldozed, and frankly, though I'd like to see everybody there, and I'm going to stand with you when it happens, I suspect that if the police want to use superior force, they're going to use superior force.
Yeah,
if they do that, what's the next step for you? What do you see happening when you come walking out of the jail? Do you think you will have sufficiently people mobilized to take this protest down to City Hall?
Well, they're already mobilized. We already have it arranged where, if it comes down to it, we will move to where we will be safe.
Maybe what you need to do is set up a camp at City Hall right now as well, a second camp, to say, look, we're being threatened, we're not being given any assurances, we want people to come, and we recognize that, you're welcome to come to Camp Paradise for help, but if you want to come, let's say, in a more limited way, you want to come during the day, and you want to be in a public place to show your support, you can come to City Hall and join the camp there.
Yeah, they say City Hall's for the people, right?
It's supposed to be the center of our elected representatives.
Okay, well, then, since we voted for them, I feel that we should have the right to have their protection. We have voters in this camp. And yesterday, what was really amazing is while we were downtown, it was people that was supporting this camp that was the most awesome thing. I wish you could have been there. The people that we got to support the camp was the people that live in homes here in Santa Cruz, business owners, that is saying, leave us alone. What are we hurting? We got these people off your streets, and we told them we would get more off your streets if they would just work with us. And they thought it was awesome. And that is elderly people that live here in Santa Cruz. It's lived here a long time. Some of them was here when Santa Cruz was first going. I got their names. That they say this Santa Cruz has been known for a young hippie community ever since this place was built.
How many signatures did you get yesterday?
Well, we got close to 40 petitions signed totally.
And how many
signatures? There's 5 pages per petition.
So, and there are 5 signatures per petition?
There's 5 pages of lists of signatures per petition.
So you got a total of 200 pages?
Yes.
And how many per page?
Let me grab one right here, right now. Let's see, we got one right here in my hand. Okay, I'll count them right now.
We're talking to Larry Timberton.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 35 signatures per page,
and you say
and there's five pages on each petitions.
So there are, you got a total of about 200 signatures then, so far?
Yeah, way over 200.
And do you have phone numbers with each of these signatures?
Yes, we do.
So now what you need to do is get someone in a house to get you access to a phone, and you're welcome to use my phone, of course.
Okay, thank you.
And come on and start calling these people and organizing them to help you in certain
ways.
Yeah,
we're going to meet with a few of them today downtown. We told them we would be down here again today. And they're going to come down, and they're volunteering to take out some of our flyers and talk to people.
That's great. What about the students? I understand you have students who are going to be coming.
I just seen them yesterday. They will be down first thing tomorrow.
Wow.
They're coming from the college.
Mm-hmm. The UCSC?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they like what they've seen, and they're taking it back. They're going to get some of their college students to come down and see this.
How about the youth? Have you gotten any contact with the high schools and the younger people?
Well, 2 days ago, we donated. There's an apartment complex at the end of Felker Street.
Felker Street is a street people should go down to if they want to get to Camp Paradise?
Yes, yes.
Right next to Denny's. Right?
There were three boys riding their bicycles down our trail,
right,
which was awesome. But with them three boys, there was one little boy, he was running. He was running along with the guys on the bicycles. Mm-hmm. And they stopped, and they were looking at the Goldfish Pond, and we started telling them about what we do down here at Camp Paradise. And I asked him, I says, where's your bike at? And he said he didn't have one. Well, Camp Paradise gave this man a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And this little boy and his friends came down yesterday with two trash bags and filled them two trash bags and carried them to the top of the levee for us.
Wow.
You know,
it wasn't a deal either. You didn't say come back.
No, we said this is free to you. They've come down and got their bikes fixed from us.
Right.
I mean, it's really
neat.
That
sounds pretty radical, man. I think we're going to have to stamp you out.
Yeah, the little boy, I'm not going to pronounce his names because I like to talk to his parents first.
Right.
But this little boy, I see him every day now riding around town here on his bicycle we gave him. It's a lime green BMX 20-inch bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was donated to us. It needed a back tire, so we put a tire on it that was donated to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid has a way around now.
Mm-hmm.
And just the smile on his face is all the thanks we needed.
Wow.
That's all we needed.
So, Larry, is there a phone number you can be reached at? I guess the Huff line, you're still using that line?
Yes, I'm still using that line. And I got another message phone that they can call.
Mm-hmm.
And it's area code 831.
Uh-huh.
458-6020, mm-hmm, extension 105.
Uh-huh. And how are the messages coming in much on that line? Or?
They're coming in pretty strongly. I got to go over there Monday, and I'll be sitting there probably for 2 hours writing them down.
Wow. Well, that's great, Larry. Now make sure you get somebody to help you. You can't carry it alone.
I know that. I'm glad I got the guys at the camp and the families there, because if it wasn't for them, I'd be drinking.
I hear you.
But today is just another clean day for us, and it's another day of hard work down on the river. And if you'd like to come down and help us pick up some trash, please come down.
Hey, Larry, I appreciate that. Anything more you want to add to this?
Well, I just want to thank everybody for taking their time, and the people that have seen what we've done, and the people that has read and opened up their hearts. I want to thank every one of you. We ain't asking for nothing. We're just asking to be treated like people like the rest of us. That's all we're asking.
But you're just homeless.
Yes.
How can you possibly ask for such a thing? You know, get yourself a credit card and come back, and we'll consider your application for personhood.
Yeah, that's a shame, because right now we have none. Some of us are on fixed incomes and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, when you only get $700 a month to live on, and if you put your $700 into buying plants, garbage bags, personal needs, and food, you know, that $700 does not leave you nothing to live on.
Hear ya.
So we all banded together. Now there's enough of us that has signed agreement with each other with our handshakes that whatever property they want to give us, if they want to guarantee us a safe home, they got our support 100%, but they have to guarantee us a safe home, that our homes ain't going to be tore down again.
Sounds like the Dolphin Lee people to me. And I'm afraid that they're going to try to give you the same treatment they gave them. And you need to organize, I think, as quickly and as strongly as you can in the community. We've been talking to Larry Templeton of the Camp Paradise right down the way. Go to Denny's, go to the river, and then head up river, and you'll find it right there. And I think you'll be welcome, right, Larry?
Yes, they will be, with hands open and arms. We don't tear nobody down.
Hey.
Everybody is welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That was Carol Denny, yet again, Failure to Disperse, and of course, well, for me, what is her signature song, Ready for Christmas, and that's an incoming call here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, my name is Phil, longtime listener, several times calling.
Mm-hmm.
I frequent that piece of forest a lot for years. It's one of the quickest ways out of town. You can connect to the forest, like just hiking up the river,
mm-hmm.
and it's the cleanest I've ever seen that place. There's always been people living in the bushes and all over that place, and always a lot of trash. Usually the police would come in and like run the camps out and then dig all their trash out and spread it all over the forest. And, I went through there a couple months ago is when I first saw that camp, and it's really incredible back there. It's the nicest I've ever seen it.
I agree. Phil, you're a Free Radio person.
Well, yeah.
And I note that tonight you're having a benefit with a number of bands, Strike Anywhere, The Missing 23rd, Jet Lag, Here, Kitty Kitty. I say we're having a benefit at $8.35 for all ages at the Vets Hall. which is at 846 Front Street. But my question is, would you think that it would be okay for people from Camp Paradise to come to that benefit, and would they be allowed to speak at the mic if they wanted to? What's your thought about that? I know you can't speak for the benefit people, but do you think it's something that they should consider hoping for if they would come to the benefit?
Oh, sure, they should try it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I know you can't. You're just one individual, but I just thought I'd mention it on the air. That's all. Before finding out anything, of course. It's a little bit late, but I just wanted to, because I know that the Camp Paradise people are listening, and again, the benefit is at the Santa Cruz Vets Hall, 846 Front Street, right next to the post office tonight, Sunday, June 17th at 8:30, and it costs $5, and I guess, is there a sliding scale, or is it simply $5?
I don't know. You probably got more accurate information in front of you.
Yeah, I think it's just $5. That's what it says. So bring your
probably
$5, and you know, and I think it's worth at least one person from the camp coming to talk about the issue. If you know, if they could at least approach, I think, the organizers of that and ask them.
Yeah.
Hey Phil, don't you think we need less of this unsanitary conditions along the San Lorenzo River? Why don't these people move into, I don't know, $100,000 or $500,000 homes?
No, it's true. They need less of that. Like, they need less of the tanneries' water running into the river, and then that other place they have that all these things just like running stuff off of machines down there. It's just like runs into the river, probably full of PCBs and all kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing they're down there cleaning that place up.
So shouldn't they be paid significant amounts of money? In fact, maybe we should sue for restitution for these folks. What do you think?
Well, they should be paid. I mean, whoever owns that property, you know, people could get injured down there and the city could get sued. And they built one of the nicest bridges I've ever seen. I've been walking down there for years. I used to walk down there with my kid, and, you know, we had to climb over this big trench all the time. The trench got bigger every time it rained. These people built the bridge. It's a nice bridge, too. You know, bikes can go over the bridge.
And they have a goldfish pond, for God's sake.
I miss the goldfish pond.
They actually put in, you know, they got goldfish, they put in a special pond, and it's quite remarkable. I mean, I think it's around the same area where the bridge is now. You might want to do a return trip and check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
see the new improvements. I haven't seen the goldfish pond.
Yeah.
A homeless goldfish pond, that's something.
Well, it's real gold, man.
Yeah, real fish.
Hey.
Have a good show.
Thank you, Phil.
Bye.
And, of course, that was the inimitable Phil Free, whose show I am struggling to find on the schedule. But, of course, I can't. So perhaps Phil will call in at some point and give us the time of his show, because he does cover local issues as well. Aha. You're on Free Radio?
Monday
at
7:30.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Sure.
So if you want to catch Phil, not just on the phone briefly, but in stronger and longer doses, 7:30 on Monday on Free Radio Santa Cruz. And boy, we're just getting lots of calls here. I hope the City Council at 420-5017 is getting as many calls. That's the number to call, 420-5017. Tell them to save Camp Paradise and end the sleeping ban. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
I don't agree that Camp Paradise should be saved.
Aha. You're going to get it, whoever you are, caller.
What's that?
No, go ahead. Speak.
Well, now, I mean, it might be nice to step back a couple of levels and define things like public property, mm-hmm. greenbelt, and squatting, and issues that would involve the city of Santa Cruz legally, like liability and negligence, and health codes, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see if we can move towards some kind of a real 2001 solution
mm-hmm.
that might not work in Carmel, but it might just work in Santa Cruz.
Any suggestions?
Well, I would suggest that we start with admitting that the camp, let's call it Camp Paradise because that's the name that's been bandied about.
Now, you've been down there, right, Bob?
Yeah, yes, I have.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it's a squad. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
What would you say? It's a sordid, dirty...
It doesn't matter, Robert. It doesn't matter if it's fit for the pages of Architectural Review.
So you think... So you
it's
you,
a squat.
You acknowledge that it's pretty well done, but you think that...
I'm not acknowledging anything. I'm acknowledging that it's a squat. It's on greenbelt. There is no amount of loopholing in the law
mm-hmm.
that's going to make it legally tolerable.
Have you examined the law recently, Bob?
I know this much, that unless they, unless an ordinance is floated and a new law is floating that, that isolates a section of public property for low-income camping, as you've defined it, which I tend to agree with,
mm-hmm.
that it's a squat and it's illegal.
Well, there actually is a section of the infamous camping ordinance that allows permits to be issued by the Parks and Rec. Now, I'm not quite sure that it covers non-park areas, but it might. And I also don't know, and I guess there's some ambiguity as to whether this is cemetery, private property, or public property. Do you know anything about that?
Well, it's bordering on the back of Oak Hills, not Oak Hills, whatever it's called over there. What is it? The Oddfellows Memorial Park.
Huh?
You can see it from the back. And like I said, it doesn't matter how pristine it is. The issue of the fact is that it just simply can't legally be tolerated without accepting enormous liability issues and health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And these are valid issues. This is 2001. It's not 1801, and
well,
these issues are valid. It's why we have building codes, is because the issues of liability and negligence, tort law,
of course,
created them.
This is the kind of argument, and I understand these arguments, Bob, but this is the kind of argument you heard from authorities in San Francisco and Santa Cruz when they tried to close down Food Not Bombs, claiming that there were liability issues of health, when in fact what they were really suggesting is if people go back to eating out of dumpsters or suffering malnutrition or worse, because they didn't want to see these people in public places because it was embarrassing for them. So there is the consideration of the necessity situation. If you have a situation where there are no alternatives being proposed, which is what you have, then when people make their own alternatives, are they to be criminalized for doing that?
Well, you make a very good argument. It's the first thing that you said, and I've listened to your show for an hour and a half or 2 hours now. It's the first thing that you've said, Robert, that is actually logical.
Well, thank you.
Regarding this issue.
See, you make me logical when you call it.
It's the necessity argument.
Uh-huh.
All right, there is no other recourse, we could argue, other than squatting.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to squat our heads in the sand and bulldoze away attempts from people to exist, or are we going to figure out a way to do this above board? I suggest the latter. I suggest that we as a community need to figure out how to create valid low-income campgrounds.
Definitely.
And what that would entail. And it would entail a revising of some law or laws to allow this to happen on some open property, some public property.
I mean, compare, Bob,
which is zoned.
Compare, Bob, with what happened in 1989, in late October, when there was an earthquake creating emergency conditions for a lot of people. Suddenly, there were camps and tents all the hell over town. Suddenly, high schools were being used. Suddenly, the Portuguese Hall was being used. Suddenly, the Civic Auditorium was being used,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but you also had the infamous Santa Cruz NIMBY politics.
True.
Going along with it.
Oh, of course.
Whereas, you know, I happened to catch the city council meeting last Tuesday. And,
I pity you.
Well, I was quite enthralled by you. You were the main reason that went out of watch city council meetings.
Well,
listen,
Bob,
to Robert Norris.
You sweetie. You.
However, there were two people that articulated their position about the disaster of trees on Laguna Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
This was their priority issue.
Right.
It wasn't about what do we do with the those that can't afford to live here, that we need to have a community. It's about you cut down a couple of trees that are disturbing my shade.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the important issue.
Right. Well, now, I actually...
This is 2001. It's not 1989. There's not an earthquake.
I mean, I'm a tree hugger myself, and I don't like it when the Parks and Rec moves in with its buzzsaw priorities. You know, see a tree, cut it down. And so I sympathize with those people, but I also agree with you. You know, why isn't something done about the human beings? You know, we are all of us human beings, and some of us are outside, and some of us are inside. So
these are complex issues, but there should be a way to cut to the quick and do something.
And not buzzsaw or bulldoze.
And not destroy everything. If something has to be done in the sense of let's work towards a solution. Also, I think issues that are this broad, like the so-called the homeless problem, the homeless issue, there is no singular solution that's going to last for all time. You do what you can do,
right,
given the circumstances of the now.
Yet you yourself designed the sleeping ban repeal initiative 3 years ago.
Oh, I think that anyone that has, and all citizens of Santa Cruz should read the sleeping ban, the first three lines of the sleeping ban. When you see that in print, I think that you're left with a sense that this is simply a misuse of the the law process.
It's intolerable. Any sleeping outside or in a vehicle, or in any structure, in, on, or under.
However, we need to, I think, look towards ways that this can evolve as an issue that people can accept.
I appreciate that, Bob.
Okay, and that we can look at being poor and other than it doesn't exist.
Hey, I agree with you. Any updates on rent control? Say no. I can take it.
Let's just say that we'll hope to invite Randy Silverman, who is a former two-time chair of the Berkeley Rent Stabilization Board, down to Santa Cruz for a speech and a gathering on just cause eviction and rent control.
And before that happens, I'll try to have him on the show. He's been difficult to reach by phone, but I'm going to continue working on it.
Okay, I just want to let me close and say that let's move towards elevating the issue of a low-income campground in ways that make sense, that can be acceptable to the community.
Thank you, Bob.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And I was battling Bob LaMonica, as I call him, and as he is annoyed by, but I still think he's a battling guy, and as you can hear, he doesn't give up trying to get rent control in our community. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz you're listening to. Not commercial radio, not public corporate radio, not university beep, 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 deep, beep, deep radio, not Fish Rap Live, orchestrated by Mike Rotkin, not City on a Hill Press, which gives little writers a chance to write about irrelevant subjects or national subjects that people have already written on, not the Sentinel, or the Urinal, as I call it, or the Sent Anal, as it really is, our unfortunately daily so-called newspaper. This is the station where you get the real news and where you can give the real news. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris. We have 20 minutes left in the show, and the call-in number is 427-3772, 427-3772. Again, I want to remind you that on Tuesday there is a council meeting, although usually they're the second and fourth Tuesdays. This is a special council meeting. First of all, they're going to try to ram through the Beach Flats affordable housing, so-called child care and community center development replacement housing plan. What does all that gobbledygook mean? It means they want to spend $17.5 plus million dollars of your money, all the affordable housing money for 5 years, on a pet project for the Mercy Charities Housing Corporation. That's the nonprofit group that has, from behind the scenes, orchestrated, stage managed, that will be that planned this whole thing, that it was designed it. They ended up purchasing it with your money. It was essentially given to them by the city in November, the Dolphin, and they're going to be building it, and then they're going to be running it, all on your money. And this is, of course, this is under the Sisters of Mercy, which is a Catholic group. Nothing against the Catholics, but of course I've always pointed out and asked the city to look into the issue of Catholic Healthcare West being sort of a sister group of the Mercy Charities Housing Corporation. Catholic Healthcare West, of course, creates intolerable conditions for its workers. It bans Planned Parenthood-type services and abortions. It is eating up hospitals like the monster from hell. And both it and Mercy Charities Housing are under the same group, the Sisters of Mercy, which is, a group of Sisters of Mercy. Sounds like the nuns to me. Again, I don't have a lot of details on this. We asked the city council about it a year ago. Fitzmaurice's response was to stand up and call me a bigot and leave the room. I wasn't making accusations, although I pointed out that these two boards shared. One guy was the chair who was on another board. It was only one person. I pointed out that Mercy Charities Housing uses closed process, that they essentially rammed through this plan using Catherine Byers as their stalking horse, which they did. And she, because she controlled the majority on the last city council, was able to push it through without any competitive plans being seriously considered. Done with the collusion of the redevelopment agency under $100,000-plus salaried director Seal Cirillo, who still has that position. And when, at the last council meeting on Tuesday, Mark Premack and Ed Porter simply asked, last month, that the Mercy Charities Housing please present and the redevelopment agency put together how much money this whole damn project is going to cost, they came back with a figure that didn't cover how much it would cost, just how much Mercy Charities Housing's actual buildings and so forth would cost, not how much acquisition of the land would cost, not how much relocating all the people until it was purchased would cost. they fudged. And on the same session, they wanted to ram through the replacement housing plan. What is that? That is a plan that has to be presented under the law that will show that all the housing being destroyed is going to be replaced in a certain area. And this is required before they can purchase the Lee property. And apparently there are now bids out on the Lee. That's the apartment building right next to the Dolphin and the Rex Court. The three properties make up the Dolphin Lee project. It's about a half a block from the beach boardwalk, for those of you who don't already know that. And it, essentially their plan, as I've discussed many a time, is to tear down existing, somewhat antiquated, but still serviceable housing, and to destroy it and then build this fancy project, blocking off the road, put in a child care center and a community center, and essentially house less people than currently exist. Instead of building on vacant property, which is right next door to this, owned by Charlie Canfield, who destroyed a lot of housing there in the past, instead of buying up property like the Rodriguez nightmare apartments that have had their rents raised 100% so they can actually create more housing for people, they've been spending money simply to give to Mercy Charities Housing a feather in its cap, a special project, and to show that political power in this town can ram through any kind of opposition, regardless of how principled, how reasonable, how sensible. It seems to me to be not just a matter of corrupt politics, it's also a matter of power politics. They're going to show that people like myself are going to be crushed, that our arguments are going to be dismissed, that you had better stick with the council majority no matter what, that if you don't want to be marginalized or made a pariah, well, you'll do what Tim Fitzmaurice suggests. You'll go to the policymakers, the Wormhouts, the Lairds at the center, you'll get their okay first, and then you'll proceed. Is this the kind of community we want, where you have to go to these Democratic Party hacks, get their okay, and then proceed essentially to do stuff that doesn't really result in any solutions, in fact creates worse problems and spends more money? No, that's not what we want to do. We know that. That's why you want to show up at City Council on Tuesday for the special meeting at 3 o'clock. Come and oppose the Beach Flats Affordable Housing Project until there is a guarantee that every single person currently in the housing will be returned to that housing, that there will be exactly as much housing created as was destroyed, and that's not currently the plan. They destroyed the Rex Court last winter, and now they're going to destroy two more properties with two more apartment buildings, the Dolphin Apartments and the Lee Apartments. You need to say no thank you to this, and actually this whole thing should not be proceeding until a budget is back. A budget has been presented to the City Council that really shows how much this whole damn thing is going to cost and whether there aren't cheaper, more productive means of creating affordable housing, of creating low-income housing. It could be done possibly not just in a ghetto situation where all the housing is rammed together in one place, which doesn't involve destroying historic structures and essentially dispersing a community, because that's what's going to happen when they're building this monstrosity. It doesn't involve wasting money on a community center, which isn't housing at all, but you're spending housing money on it, which doesn't involve violating Coastal Commission rules, because that's what they're doing as well, according to a community activist and housing advocate Ed Davidson, which doesn't involve circumventing the public process through violating the Brown or Open Meetings Act, which is what Fitzmaurice and Sugar and Crone have been colluding on all along, allowing Mercy Charities Housing to hold closed board meetings and prepare their own private stuff behind closed doors. And then the whole process of purchasing the Lee property has been discussed in secret in meeting after meeting after meeting of the closed sessions of City Council, even though the last open meeting of the City Council, which discussed this subject in July of 2000, said, we are abandoning negotiations for the Lee. And the reason they did that was because the Lee tenants, to a person, said, no way do we want this project until you sign on the dotted line that says there will be A, all the housing will be replaced, and B, all the people will be able to come back to the housing. And the City Council has time after time refused to give that promise, even though SCAN voted it in May 31st of 2000 by a 2-1 majority, even though the Green Party demanded it this spring in one of the few positive actions undertaken by the Green Party's homeless shirking group, as I like to call it, and then by the Green Party Assembly generally. It is something you should come to. City Council, 3 o'clock on Tuesday. Check it out. Then at 5 o'clock, you get to see all these social service groups with their hands out, panhandling and funding their own workers, and even giving some services to poor people. But what kind of services? Well, that's the question. Children, youth groups, senior groups, disabled groups, legal groups, groups like Santa Cruz Toddler Care Center, Neighborhood Child Care Center, Emmeline Child Care Center, Senior Councils of Santa Cruz and San Benito, Senior Citizens Legal Services, Cabrillo College Stroke Center, Ombudsman Advocate, Inc., California Rural Legal Assistance, Community Options, Women Care, Santa Cruz Women's Health Center, all these groups, and the homeless services that are going to be seeking appropriations, and that'll be at the 7 o'clock session of the Tuesday City Council meeting, 2 days hence. New Life Community Services, Inc., Homeless Garden Project, Families in Transition of Santa Cruz County, Community Action Board of Santa Cruz County, Immigration Project, Shelter Project, STEP, Homeless Services Center, formerly the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, Page Smith Community House, Interface Satellite Shelter Program, Homeless Community Resource Center. The projects, they're eating up all the money, but not providing any real advocacy for homeless people. Not that what they do isn't important to some extent, but ask Ken Cole where the hell is he in this issue of the Camp Paradise, of the sleeping ban, and you get the kinds of either silence or quotes that come out of the Chronicle, which in essence say, it's a real sad situation, but that's how it goes. I actually don't have the quote before me, but that's the feeling I get from Cole. It's not my job. My job is to run this rather limited service, even as it mistreats homeless people fundamentally, for certainly because of lack of resources, because of lack of vision, because it's not willing to, because it has a board of directors that's primarily consists of merchants, police, politicians, and judges. How the hell could you get anything meaningful out of that? The only homeless representative hasn't been seen at the board meeting in months, as far as I know. Mama Joy, unless that's changed. Lots of stuff, lots of shit going on here in Santa Cruz that has to be shaken up. You're tuned to 96.3 FM, and I got to tell you, you don't have too much time if you want to be on this show. We got another 10 minutes on Bathrobes Pier's broadsides, and the number to call is 427-3772. You might also check the paper today. There's a couple of interesting things. One is the Charlotte Spitzer's article on land trust, which I always kind of regard as a hoot. I mean, it's the latest sort of scan tinsel toy on their Christmas tree. So while the people are, locked outside the house freezing, they can, have this nice tree in the window that you all get to look at and 30 years down the road dream about a land trust. I believe there's also that's in the Sentinel today, and there's also a good letter from Chaim Levin, who is been organizing with the Monday Morning Group, the group that's going to be throwing a town hall action meeting, which I have repeatedly expressed extreme skepticism toward, but it's concerned with issues like homelessness and the sleeping ban and criminalization of the poor, and they're bringing together religious leaders. They've invited politicians, but they, according to Michael Schmidt, are going to proceed without the politicians because the politicians are saying things like, first they said drop Robert Norris, and they obediently dropped Robert Norris. Now they're saying drop Michael Schmidt, but apparently they're not going to drop Michael Schmidt. Because obviously what they really want the Monday Morning Group to do is drop the sleeping ban repeal requests, drop any meaningful call for real reform in terms of homeless civil rights. That's what the powers that be want, because they don't want to be embarrassed on these issues. And their behavior is not just embarrassing. It is abusive. Some would say it is a criminal hate crime against the homeless. Those are David Silva's words about the sleeping ban. Institutional hate crime. And indeed, there's some flyers going around encouraging people to call city council members and to call the police chief and to call other political hacks in the wee hours of the morning and give them a taste of what it feels like to be a homeless person outside, wakened at 2 or 3. If you're at home, you can always hang up the phone or unplug the phone. You can't unplug the guy with the billy club and the gun and the badge that comes to your tent. I don't recommend this because I believe, you got to separate the political and the personal with these politicians, much as you might not want to, and B, it provides a sympathy factor for those poor politicians wakened in the wee hours, whose beauty rest is disturbed by phone calls. And I frankly, when I first heard this proposal and saw this flyer, I thought, oh no, this is a crazy idea. Actually, they used it last year during the sleeping ban debate, and it was one of the protests, along with the fasting and a an early coffee klatch called Waiting for Sugar, and when Keith Sugar was mayor, and the Pie and the Pusser Award and all kinds of stuff that actually prompted Sugar to finally get off his sweet ass and put the issue on the sleeping ban safe zones on the city council agenda. He thought he had Catherine Byers' vote lined up, and she, of course, ran the other way when lying Chronicle columnists like Garcia, lying council members like Rotkin, and lying downtown business people like, what the hell was his name? He's the head of the Downtown Business Association, and his first name is Mike. And I'm not talking about Mike Hernandez. Anyway, these people got together and spread so much misinformation, it frightened poor Catherine Byers. Ooh, a mouse, a business mouse. And she jumped on the bed and gave up her vote. They no longer had a majority for the safe sleeping zones in the industrial areas, which would have been a step in the right direction. Instead, they ran, and the election, they wouldn't raise the issue of the election, they wouldn't put it on the ballot, and for the next year, until now, Fitzmaurice has blocked it from reaching the agenda. That's Mayor Green Party Fitzmaurice. Mr. I don't want to follow the Green Party platform, I don't have to be held accountable, I'll take your Green Party votes, but when it comes time to actually implement Green Party policies, I'm out of town. That's Mr. I don't keep my pledges to campers, Tim Fitzmaurice. This is the mayor who promised these campers there would be a dumpster there, and what he really meant was, there'll be a dumpster for you on July 1st, folks, where all your tents and all your property and all the flowers that you've created will be dumped in there unless you can drag those things out of the way of our machine. That is what he meant. Now, you might say he didn't mean it when he said it, and of course, that's true. None of these politicians mean it when they say it. They're looking at you and smiling and running a rap on you, and I'm talking about Mr. Candy-ass Chris Crone as well. I'm telling you that right now. Crone, who's vice mayor and who has the sweetest, sort of most gentle approach, is a person who, for example, has no respect for the public process. He is, I think, on one occasion only out of his 2.5-year tenure, ever sought an expansion of oral communications, even though he was elected on a platform that guaranteed the public extended option to the public process. He used to hold meetings where he would show up at the Cafe Pergolesi and meet with his constituents, and he was the only council member who did the day before the city council meetings. Now, or at least for the last few months, he hasn't done that either. He apparently is so entrenched in power, and that's what power does to people, folks. It takes people who if you want to give them something, might have had good intentions, and it turns them into these little, I have to rely on what my staff tells me. Well, the police department said this, I have to believe that. I don't have time to consider these other issues kinds of people. And that's why anybody who runs for these offices puts themselves into a mutant-making machine. And you can't do it unless you have a whole new set of staff in place before you start, unless you have a whole community support network that is going to be helping you independent of the entire city government structure. That is my belief. And that's what has to be done before you vote for anybody in the next election. Those kinds of candidates have to come out of the population. People who aren't just candidates, but who are activists first and foremost, and who will continue to organize door to door, whether they get elected or not. That's the key. And people like Arnie Leff fade into the woodwork. Steve Argue, on the other hand, who ran for city council and is now working a 40-hour job, I still see doing things like organizing against the sleeping ban. And so I have some respect for that. So that's that. And there's an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, it's Leela.
Hey, from Dominican Psych Ward. And Leela, you've been held prisoner there for how long?
Well, this time, since I believe it was last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
God, all hell's breaking me.
You mean last Friday was two, three days ago. You mean
am
a week?
Am I live on the radio?
You are live.
Hi.
Hi. Say hello to everybody out there.
Hi, folks.
And now, you've been there for a week and 3 days, or for 3 days?
Since last Friday before last.
I got you. Now, what about George Cavallo, that great patient's advocate? I understand
he's
that...
He's not much help.
He's not much help.
No.
Well, he's trying to get more funding for his office on Tuesday. What would you say to the city council about that?
Good.
You would say he's good?
I would say that the mental health system totally is corrupt. It started, the drugging they do started in Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody cares who can offer us legal help, please come to the Dominican Mental Health Unit. The visiting hours are 1 to 8:30. I myself, Leela, P, need a lawyer.
Is this 1 to 8:30 on the weekends or today?
Yeah,
or?
1 to 8:30 on the weekends, or 3 to 4 and 7 to 8:30 on weekdays. I'm really sick and I'm dying from years of psychiatric abuse and forced drugging. My liver's pickled. My ulcer's perforating. The staff steals our food, our belongings, our money. I had $10 bills stolen. Doctor wouldn't let me go to my uncle's funeral. I'm just really pissed, and he gets mad at me when I say I'm angry because I was raped at my Portland care home.
I remember you were telling us that before. Did you try to file a report with the police about that?
Yes, I did, but they were no help. We all know how corrupt they are, right?
Did they take the report or not?
Yeah.
They did take it. Now, what's the phone number for people to call you? Do you have that patient?
476-9950.
Are you pretty sure about that?
P. I need SOS. If I have any friends out there, please come and visit.
Now, again, your full name is?
Leela Percival. P as in Paul, E-R-C-E, F as in Frank, U-L. I'm not allowed to speak about any other patients, but we...
Sure. Who has told you all these rules that you can't mention?
And I have no visitors. We almost have less. You know, I guess lawyers aren't allowed to come in here. I don't know. When you're conserved, you have no rights. My conservator stole all my money, and my board and care home and social worker stole most of my clothes, so I could use some food, and we could use some fruit here. We don't get any fruit.
Maybe we can get Camp Paradise to send in an expedition.
Pardon?
Maybe the folks at Camp... Have you heard about Camp Paradise?
No.
Camp Paradise is a group of campers along the San Lorenzo River who...
Oh, yeah, I heard about it.
Maybe we can get a delegation of Camp Paradise not only to go to visit you in the psych ward, but also to... Maybe what they should do is take their case to one of the foreign embassies. You know, the Cuban embassy in... I should say it's the Cuban consulate in San Francisco or one of these other groups. You know, talk about what they learn when they see the psych ward.
Well, if I have any friends out there, if somebody could come and visit me. I'm really lonely, and I've had no visitors.
Right.
And except the priest, who doesn't seem to understand that the doctor is really power hungry, and I guess
now, who
all
told
I
you
about is his money.
Leela, who told you? Leela, excuse me, Leela. Who told you? It's okay. Who told you? I wanted to interrupt you because I got not much time left. Who told you? Who told you that you couldn't mention the doctor's name? What?
The staff.
Now, did they come over to you and threaten you with something by saying if you did mention his name, what would they do?
Well, see, you're not allowed. They listen.
So you're being monitored by the staff.
And be careful what you say if you call or visit. They have cameras everywhere, like jail.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been on 4 minutes. Well, someone else has to use the phone.
Hang on.
Roberto? We really need visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my favorite food is peaches, ripe peaches.
So anybody with peaches, get your butt down to Dominican Psych Ward to see Leela Percival. And the phone number is 476-9950.
Or call us.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, please.
Mm-hmm. So,
hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Well, just want to say that...
So we're talking to Flower Hopkins?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as Roberta Hopkins.
By the way, Flower, I did talk to Dan yesterday and told him you were interested in getting in touch.
Yeah, I spoke to him today.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. Just want to say that the conditions in the hospital are primitive. There's barely anything to do but sit around all day, or since I can't sit because of medications they gave me, I have to pace around all day, and it's hurting my feet. And,
what kind of medications do you have there, Flora?
I have Clonopin, Risperdal, Zyprexa, and at night they make me so sleepy. I go sleepwalking, and I almost got into Lulu's bed, and she might have beat me up, but she was kind about it, and I bump into walls, And there's a...
How long have you been there, Flora?
For about 2 weeks, which I lost track of time, but that's what people are telling me.
Now, they're trying to conserve you? Is that the deal?
Right.
And do you have any hearing dates coming up?
I don't know. I'm going to try to fight it and just get a plan where I can don't have to be conserved.
You know, I mean, Flower, I've gotten letters from you in the last few months from Berkeley, which you've very eloquently and accurately described the struggle there against the sleeping ban. You, some of the time you live outdoors, some of the time you don't, and I know that you are you have a strong religious bent, and that, you know, you're there because of an incident that happened around that issue. But my understanding, having heard that issue, and I would encourage you to talk about it on the air, because I don't think there's anything wrong with, I mean, you know, some people will judge what you did as being inappropriate, but does that mean you deserve to be held against your will and doped up for 2 weeks? Does that mean you deserve to be conserved and have all your rights taken away? I think people would say no. But, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think that the real reason I'm here is, for committing sins in the past, but what the catalyst that made me brought to the hospital, all I was doing was running through the walls of the hotel where I live, saying that Jesus was here, and I was feeling very happy, and I wasn't hurting anyone, and I wasn't hurting myself.
And you knocked on a few doors.
Right.
And that created a disturbance, which I suppose you might say might cause some people to say you were disturbing the peace, but you weren't charged with that. Instead, you were taken away and simply held without charges on the psych ward, right?
Right. Yeah, there's no reason I should be here.
So have you attempted to talk to George Cavallo, the ombuds advocate?
Yes, but he doesn't say much. You know, I don't want to judge him. I don't know how effective he is, but usually he just listens.
Well, have you asked him to get a lawyer for you? Have you asked him to? I mean, for example, there's the thing called a Reis hearing, which you have a right to have before you're forced to take drugs. Were you afforded a Reis hearing?
No, I don't know. I had to sign some kind of writ, and I don't know what it was for, but I was told that in the courtroom I did everything right, but that the only thing missing was they didn't have a plan for me, and that's why they're holding me here longer. But it's not of my own fault.
So the plan is for them to take away all your rights and dump you in a board and care home? Is that the plan?
Or 7th Avenue, a locked facility.
Right, that's the former Harbor Hills.
Right, and I don't want to go there. I just want to be free to serve God and my brothers and sisters.
Right. Wow. Well, is there anything you're requesting from the community here in Free Radio that are maybe listening to this?
Yes, that... people who know me call and leave a message for Dr. Sager.
Dr. Sager, how do you spell that?
S-A-G-E-R.
I hope that's not the same doctor who's the staff forbade people to talk about, because I think doctors should be responsible for what's going on around them and the patients under their care. And I would say to Dr. Sager that it's important people's civil rights be respected in this situation. And I have no problem with saying that. And I'm sorry that some people are being pressured not to be able to say those kinds of things because they're afraid that that might get out to the community and embarrass the good doctor.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, your name again is Flower Hopkins?
Right.
And that's also Roberta Hopkins?
Right.
And what's the phone number there?
I don't know. It's listed in the phone book.
I got 476-9950, but I'm not sure. Is that accurate?
That's the payphone, patient's payphone number.
Right.
But they need to call the, you know, established order and tell them that I've been able to function well on the outside.
So in other words, you want testimonials from people who know you that you are not a danger to yourself, not a danger to others, and not gravely disabled?
Right. I'm trying to help myself, and I'm trying to help the community.
Uh-huh. I know that those are the three criteria, and until this new crazy Thompson bill passes the state legislature, which will gut those protections, but you're not supposed to be held against your will unless you either are gravely disabled, a danger to yourself, or danger to others. Are they claiming that you're a danger to others because you knocked on doors asking for Jesus?
Right, and they're kind of over-medicating me here, too.
Well, they mean you were scaring people to death? Is that the idea? People were having heart attacks because you were knocking on the doors?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it was really, they just want to be mean. They just try to keep people here for...
They think you're a religious nut, Flower. That's the deal. And they classify you as having a mental illness for that reason. And who knows? Some of the other people might, and I might at the same time. But would I say you are obliged to be held against your will and doped up? I don't think so.
Yeah, Christians should... It's considered good amongst Christians to think of Jesus as much as possible and talk to him and pray as much as possible.
Yes, I understand that.
There are songs about people talking to Jesus, Christian songs.
Yes. So you want people to give a call to the authorities at the Dominican Psych Ward, which is now called something else. It has another name to it, but I think it's under Dominican Hospital, and I guess and request that to inform Dr. Sager, who is your physician, that they have had experiences with you that lead them to believe that at least in the recent past you have been competent to manage your own affairs, not a danger to yourself, not a danger to others, not gravely disabled.
Right, and that maybe even when lies in this. Could get publicized if he doesn't consent, because I'm getting involuntary leg movements,
mm-hmm.
and that could be for life.
From lice?
For life. Yeah.
So, in other words, are we talking tardive dyskinesia?
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, that's pretty horrible. It's Thorazine-type side effects. Well, look, I appreciate you're taking the risk of having your privileges, whatever they are, to further restrict it by speaking out here on the phone to Free Radio. We are talking to Roberta and to Layla at the Dominican Psych Ward here, our very own drug them, lock them up, and take away their rights for their own good. Of course, it's all for your own good. Place and if any members of the psychiatric staff want to call anonymously or listening to this and defend these practices or let us know that you have a different perspective, you're invited to do so. Of course, I know you're going to say, "Oh, well, these are clients and we can't reveal that because we'd be violating their privacy." Well, these people are speaking out publicly about the conditions in the hospital, about how they're being treated. And as far as I'm concerned, this needs to have some responsible response from the Dominican ward on this issue. And I think that response is not telling people not to name names and cutting them off from the phone and shooting them up with more drugs. Thank you very much. So that's just my view, anyway.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we're not here for our own good. It's detrimental for us to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I've gained a lot of weight because there's nothing else to do here but eat.
Okay. Well, hang in there.
Okay, thank you, Robert.
Call again if you want. Our next show is 6 to 8 on Thursday, and of course, Free Radio broadcasts 24 hours a day, but that's my next show.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So you are still tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We don't care if they think you're crazy. We don't care if they think you're criminals. We don't care if they think you're just a piece of shit that should be bulldozed away on July 1st. If you've got a voice and a human shape and you're saying something that needs to be heard, we will broadcast what you have to say. At least it's going to happen on my show. I don't care what kinds of stereotypes are raised, what kinds of threats are raised. Do what I can. And I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris, and this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, here in Santa Cruz. Let's hear a little of the truly heavenly voice of Elizabeth Cable.
You bought your flip-flops at Pay and Save. They were only $9.99. You were doing the PC thing, trying to keep those cows alive. Don't you know your fake working stocks are made from petroleum products?
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and we have the overtime version of the Bathroom Spears Broadside Show. I can't really do a full 12 hours today, or even a full 5 hours, as I often do when the next talk show host doesn't show, because I've got to go look at a new room. I actually may be able to get a room for a month, and that will keep me swimming. If anybody's got more room ideas, I am moving, and I need... any suggestions you may have, and leave them at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, which is also the line for anything you want on the air on this show on Free Radio, 423-4833. Or if you want to leave a message for Camp Paradise and Larry Templeton, you can also do it at 423-4833. Or if you can't get through to Layla or Roberta on the psych ward and you want to leave them a message, 423-4833. Here's a story from June 15th about the city of Seattle, about Cher. And Cher is a group that's been running a tent city, such as Larry Templeton is a part of, although it's been a more social service, poverty pimpy kind of deal. That's a little harsh. I actually haven't been up there and seen it, and it has been going on for a while, and in association with homeless advocates. So I'll just read you this Seattle Times story called City Finds Fault with Shelters. The group that sponsors Seattle's Tent City for the Homeless often has dozens of empty beds, says the city has dozens of empty beds in its city-funded shelters and bars people from sleeping there if they don't take part in advocacy efforts, according to a city report issued yesterday. Cher, which insists the city does not fund enough shelter space, is asking the city for extra money to compensate for private donations that have shifted from shelter operations to Tent City, according to the report. The report by Seattle's Human Services Department, it is a faulting of Cher, which is an acronym for Seattle Housing and Resource Effort. The report by Seattle's Human Services Department faults Cher on a number of fronts, questioning spending decisions and management structure of the at the organization that, with few paid workers, relies mostly on homeless volunteers to run 13 shelters with about 330 beds. The top concern is ensuring that people are treated fairly regardless of political activity, said Alan Painter, director of community services in the Human Services Department. The report recommends changes but does not threaten to end city funding. This is an attack on Share, which is a group that has sponsored the Tent City. I suspect... the Seattle's Rotkin, whoever he or she is hard at work up there. Relations between Cher and the city have been strained since the group began sponsoring Tent City in March 2000. City officials, including Mayor Paul Schell, take pride in having doubled spending on homeless programs since 1996. Cher, meanwhile, uses Tent City not only as a place for shelter, but as a way to criticize the Schell administration for not doing more. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Hi, you're on free radio.
Oh, shit. I wasn't listening to this to the show. I'm sorry. I just wanted to call into your show and well, call you and let you know that we're having a benefit tonight.
Yeah, tell us about it. I think it's actually for a free radio strike anywhere, the Missing 23rd, Jet Lag here at Kitty Kitty at the Vets Hall.
That's tonight at 8:30.
Cool.
And I just wanted to pass on that we will have these CDs for sale, that Spurious Emissions compilation of all your favorite pirate radio songs. Now you can own them on one neat little compact disc.
Are these premature Spurious Emissions, or
these are Spurious Emissions of an illegal nature?
Uh-huh, good.
And those will be cranked out, and they're going to be $10 at the benefit. So come on down to the Vets Hall tonight at 8:30. And as you said, the Missing 23rd, Strike Anywhere, Here Kitty Kitty, and Jetlag will be performing. And I'm sure in between each of those wonderful musical acts, we'll be getting various updates on different political situations, such as possibly even the campground folks who are being evicted. I don't know, maybe, just a possibility.
Camp Paradise.
You never know who's going to show up and who's going to just run up in between the bands while they're breaking down. And
these people
up.
Have no respect. They just zip right up there and talk.
Yes, yes. So just to let all your listeners know, we hope to see you out there. This is a benefit for Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM on the air for, what now, 6.5 years? Or something.
I thought it was 17 years.
17, 18, I don't know.
Yes.
John Malkin seems to think it was even up to as long as 24 years ago when he first got his show.
And, I see.
And spearheaded this whole movement single-handedly.
Yes, he's quite a guy, that John.
Anyway.
Thanks a lot there.
All right, bye-bye, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Robert.
Yes, sir. And that, of course, was the notorious, ever-vigilant Vinny, whose show I never get a chance to listen to because I'm running around like a dodo trying to get things together and still leaving stuff behind. 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Yeah, come on down tonight and support us at the Vets Hall, 8:30, and Camp Paradise, folks. You come down, too, if you want. I think that they'll be... may cost $5 to get in. You may be, you know, who knows? I can't say you can sneak in, but because I don't recommend illegal behavior of that sort, and never would. But I think that it's a worthy event. I encourage people to come. Bring $10 for if you want a CD compilation of pirate songs. Maybe there's even "Screw the FCC" by Carol Denny. I'm not sure if that's on that CD, but if it isn't, it'll be on the next CD. Well, look who's coming to the station. It's that. Huffing and puffing and climbing the steps, Skidmark Bob Duran. Boy, that guy, you shouldn't be out in this heat, Bob. You should be down on the beach, you know, cooling your heels.
What do you got, a 5-gallon coffee thing?
That's the super big gulp plus from 7-Eleven. This enables you to have...
You almost drank all of it, too.
Well, I have to get through my coffee. Otherwise, how can I keep this patter up endlessly in the studio? I mean, I may not be a crank freak, but I certainly am a coffee head. And. So I'm just finishing up the story about Cher, then I'll turn I'll take your time. Well, let's get into it here. So anyway, Cher is this group in Seattle which runs the Tent City and Darius Shelters, and they're getting shafted by what looks to me like a conservative report by Seattle's Human Services Department. Cher sees the report as payback. Anitra Freeman, president of Cher's board of directors, said the city is distorting the numbers. It makes a seemingly legitimate attack on Tent City, she said. The report, said Painter, is not political. He said the information was based on interviews with shelter residents and church members involved with Cher shelters. For years, Cher and the city have been partners in providing shelter in church basements and other buildings. The city this year is giving $173,381 to Cher for shelter programs with the understanding that no city money go to Tent City, which it considers an illegal land use. Tent City, now at Lake City Christian Church, is home to about 100 people. The report does not directly accuse Cher of using city money on Tent City, but it does raise questions, for example, about dramatic increases in the bills for dumping garbage and increase seen after Tent City opened. Freeman rejects any insinuation that Tent City trash is being hauled to the shelters and put on the city's tab. I suppose the city would prefer that the trash simply be dumped in the middle of the street. Thank you very much, oh, you fine and wise city of moms and dads. mothers and fathers. We've been scrupulous, she said, and suggested that garbage bills from one of the shelters did go up sharply, and the materials from construction work there may have gone into the trash. More troubling for the city is the shift of private donations away from share shelters to Tent City. Well, naturally, Tent City works, and it puts people outside. It's healthier, it's freer, it's more visible, it's actually accessible to homeless people. Why do that rather than cheesy, moldy, get-out-in-the-morning shelters, which are also probably more costly? But, I mean, hey, what do I know? I'm not homeless. Moving right along. That shift has contributed to a shortfall in the shelter operation, and share officials say that the shelters could shut down July 1st unless the city comes through with $70,000. Painter said the city had contacted United Way to try to help share's finances. Traditionally, share has raised $20,000 to $30,000 a year. Last year, the group collected $5,637 for the shelters and $32,816 for Tent City, with about $15,000 specifically designated by donors for Tent City, according to the report. Freeman, so get this together, folks. Camp Paradise, get out there with your cups and start getting donations for, not for Camp Paradise, but for what will replace Camp Paradise once the city destroys it on July 1st. Freeman was unrepentant. A majority of the people in Seattle believe, as we do, that Tent City is shelter, and Tent City is legitimate. Painter contends that Share should have made sure it could afford its basic operation before starting Tent City. According to Painter, shelter residents said people have been barred for failing to take part in Share's political activities. Share requires residents to do administrative tasks or other chores. Freeman said residents could choose political or non-political activities. Share's first request for more money came in February. Painter said the study released yesterday was prompted by that request and by figures last fall showing more empty beds at Share than at most shelters. The report addressed the issue of empty beds, noting that Share allows residents to reserve beds for long stretches and stay out of the shelter for two nights a week. In other words, Share actually operates freer shelters than other places in the city. Naturally, they must be punished. Those beds are not filled during those nights. Share has not broken its contract with the city and is on course to meet the negotiated number of bed nights the city funded, Painter says. But he said the city might want to negotiate its next contract by specifying that a certain percentage of beds be filled so they can't go wandering down to that Tent City, you know, that illegal Tent City. And what Ruben Batillo, who is a homeless activist in Eureka who puts out a lot of these emails, says is, instead of thanking staff and volunteers for their great homeless work, the city of Seattle is smearing their leaders' successes and good faith efforts as if all this wonderful charity doesn't even count. Tent City is much more than a political action. It is also how many homeless people prefer to live, outside. Share should be awarded for providing the homeless this viable outdoor alternative, along with taking a united stand against disingenuous local officials who prefer to hide the homeless from public view. A few empty shelter beds does not disprove the facts that thousands more are needed for all the homeless in the area, and the real homeless solution is permanent, decent housing. Shelter isn't enough. Who believes shelter is enough to solve the homeless problem? Ruben. And a response by a woman named Alina to what Ruben said. I had some thoughts on your words, Ruben. Not only are shelters not enough, but the fact remains there is more to homelessness. This involves the impossible venture in finding available apartments or houses that are affordable. It also involves being forced to open a welfare case in order for social services to help pay the shelter expense. It involves social services stealing mothers and children's child support checks when their income is better off without the system. It involves trying to feed a family of four on $197 in food stamps for a month. We're talking about Washington State. It involves applying for Section 8 and having to pay 70% of your income as your share of the rent. But by far the biggest mistake is serving in the Navy and coming out with an honorable discharge and finding out you have contracted infections with chemicals in your blood and can't work because you're so sick. It boils down to the United States government making and keeping you poor, Elena. And finally, Ruben responds, I heard that, Elena. That's why I don't use the word affordable when referring to housing rights anymore. There is no such thing as affordable housing for homeless people. That is why the rich and well-to-do refuse to make housing a legal right. If everyone had a legal right to housing, there would be no homelessness. But even housing is not enough when it comes to abolishing poverty and oppression. Good nutrition, health care, and educational opportunities are needed, along with decent jobs, social and recreational activities, and I would say more attractive oncoming talk show hosts who just seem to be, I'm not going to talk about old Bob here. He's about to take over. Our entire society needs to turn inside out spiritually and morally. No, it's not likely to happen, but if we're going to work for a better world, we might as well go for the gold. Well, I can see where I'm not wanted. So I'm about to leave this studio. I encourage those at Camp Paradise to take a page from the book here of Share, the tent city in Seattle, and also Camp Dignity, the tent city in Portland, Oregon, which I'm going to be talking about next Thursday. We have a quick phone call, hopefully. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, hi. My name is Don Alden.
Yes.
Do you remember who I am?
I do hear that you notorious Don Alden, whose picture appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle in that smear story against Camp Paradise.
Oh, thank you very kindly. Wow, man, a lot of people don't have the impact of what's really going on with us down there, do they?
Well, it takes a while, and you're going to have to get out there and get more people doing it, and I think you need to get a backup plan what to do when they come in with the bulldozers, because I think they will at some point. Even I could be wrong. You could be able to hold off. But the question for me, and I guess I'm sort of an opportunist here, is how I see a bunch of campers doing good things, but I know they're going to come down on you, and I want to see this have some good impact for the whole homeless community, so you can, you know, I guess taking it to City Hall is one way to do it.
Yeah, we don't want a People's Park thing to happen, do we?
Well, that's what's likely to come on down.
Yeah, I'm one of the originators from that. When I was a young child, that was one of the first demonstrations I visited was People's Park.
I remember, I was there too.
And that was good because it was nonviolent at that time.
Until they shot Alan Blanchard and James, what's his name? Yeah,
bummer that was, but it served a purpose, you know. A lot of misunderstanding, understandable, but it served a purpose. Sometimes, when you go to war, man, a few people have to fall, but that's not what we want here. We want a peaceful demonstration, something that's, nonviolent, non-abusive, where people understand that because we hide behind society in a plight, like on a river or on a mountainside or behind an industrial area, we're still struggling for life, too. And we want to get our means up. We don't ever want to become homeless or stay homeless. We want to
get in there and stand still
and grow above that.
You know, Don, in Santa Cruz, the problem is not violent demonstrations. The problem is any kind of real demonstrations at all that continue. I mean, you're going to have people who show up once and then it all evaporates unless you can get some kind of continuing process going, which it means people are going to have to be willing to go to jail, come out of jail, go to jail again, come out of jail, and it has to be. I mean, that's the way I've always thought it has to happen, in the Martin Luther King / Mahatma Gandhi fashion, and I don't know. It's hard to prepare on short notice, but...
Correct or not, I've gone to jail many, many times for certain things, and a lot of them non-criminal.
Right.
I'm a recovering addict myself, and the stand that we have here is something that we want to not fight. Fight means, automatically in society's eyes, fight means a word of vengeance, of fear, of mayhem, of all sorts of bad things.
No, fighting. You can fight for a good cause without being violent. Even you can.
True.
You can struggle. You don't have to. Don't be afraid of these words. I mean that's what I would say. But I
guess my last name really speaks for it all. An Alden, John Alden, Mayflower Compact.
Mm-hmm.
We came over here, man, struggling for our own rights to be able to practice things that we have belief in and pursue and. Without, being damaged upon or looked down upon or things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
one
definitely.
One was what? Freedom of speech, freedom of religion?
Basic human rights, It's an old story,
yeah.
And it's never a story that isn't worth hearing because it has to be retold, it has to be recaptured, and it has to be refought, I'm afraid, again and again and again.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, what I wanted to say for everybody out there in public radio, if you lack the education or knowledge, you need to want to learn something, come talk to us. Come visit us. We have education. We have knowledge that we would like to trade back and forth from ourselves into other peoples and entities. And come see what we're doing. A lot of times, our public people that are the taxpayers that support our communities into picking up the trash, making the environment look beautiful and stuff like that, well... We're doing it for free. We're not asking for any money. We don't need any money.
The
money we generate is...
Don, I got a roll. The enforcer has returned, and I'm afraid this time he's not going to be so gentle with me. I can see already the curl in his lip. He's also about to die. See what I mean? The man is vicious. So I would encourage people to come on down to the Camp Paradise, which is along the riverbank right beyond Denny's, past the bridge.
Yes, sir.
And give a call to 423-HUFF if you want to leave a message for Larry Templeton. If you also want to be catching by email, it's campparadise@hotmail.com. Or tonight, I guess, is someone going to come tonight to the Santa Cruz Vets Hall benefit for the Free Radio Santa Cruz,
Oh, yes, we have vets in the camp, and they will be there.
Excellent. 8:30 for those bands, Strike Anywhere,
That's
Missing 23rd, Jet Lag, Here Kitty Kitty, and probably Skidmark Bob, and we're all going to have to, of course, close our ears when his set comes on. I mean, the man is just intolerable. So thank you very much, Don, and I got to go.
One true thing I wanted to say before
you
leave. What's intolerable is this incessant...
My mother told me if I had an enemy,
long
I always kill them with kindness.
Right.
Give them so much love that they like it or they go away.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much, and please come on tonight. Maybe I'll see you there.
Much love, brother. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And that's it for this edition of Bathrobes, Beers, Broadsides. I am being actually forced out of the studio by a bunch of thugs who are call themselves Free Radio. Oh, yeah, sure, Free. Free Radio. Wait, no, wait. Oh.
He's faking that, by the way.
We've interrupted this broadcast. Thank you very much for listening, Freak Radio.
Robert Norris is eating fake crab meat sushi.
He's a lie. He's a terrible, terrible lie.
Come to the Vets Hall tonight, 9 o'clock. Be there.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Call-in number is 427-3772. If you get a busy signal, be patient. As soon as this conversation ends, I'll be able to get you on the air, and you can talk about the issue of Camp Paradise and the plan of the city to destroy the camp and drive homeless people out of sight. I'm afraid that's the ongoing, ever-present plan of the city. That's the fallback position of the city council.